Estás escuchando Encuentro Radio.
Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342.
Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio.
From Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
we are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio.
Not trying to be in there, not trying to be cool, just trying to be in this. Tell me how you do. Can you feel where the wind is? Can you feel it through all of the windows inside this room? 'Cause I wanna touch you, baby, and I wanna feel you too. I wanna see the sunrise and your sins just being you.
Light it up on the run. Let's make love tonight. Make it up, fall in love twice.
Like a jacket, so do yours, yeah. We would roll down the rapids to find a way that fits. Can you feel where the wind is? Can you feel it through all of the windows inside this room?
'Cause I wanna touch you, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Mirrored Voices here on CEPALC Encuentro Radio Station. We are in our like last couple of programs before the end of this year's programming until the end of November. You can tune in to Encuentro Radio, catch all of the last programs of the year before we say goodbye, before we take a well-deserved break for the holidays and come back in the new year, usually around the beginning of February, if I remember correctly. So my name is Hannah, and I'm here in the studio with Michelle and Mariana. How is everybody? How are you all doing in this rainy weather in Bogota lately?
No, please.
I don't know if it started yet today, but it's been going every single day.
Oh my God, it's gonna be difficult if it starts raining. Go back to my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I have like a difficult moment coming here,
mm-hmm.
because I was in the Oxxo that actually is so close.
Mm-hmm.
When I started walking to here, it started raining so hard, and actually happened that was so strong that I can see the street with just water.
Ooh, like a river.
Yeah, I was like, I'm gonna survive, but was like a long way to arrive here, and actually every day I do that, and it's like so close.
Yeah.
So I hope today not rain, because if I get wet again, I'm gonna get sick.
Yeah.
So I hope not.
Hope so too. Well, I felt like we got lucky yesterday, because we went to a thing called Gringo Tuesday, where foreigners meet up and exchange languages and have conversations in different languages, and that was after work. So I was a bit worried that it was gonna rain like it did in the afternoon, but thank God it didn't. So I can say I'm good. I'm just tired because it was a Tuesday, and it's like I still have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So that sort of thing. But we really had fun. I went with a couple friends, and it was very fun.
That's great.
Yeah, that's good. And you, honey?
I'm also feeling that, like, tired. I don't know if it's because it's, like, so close to the end of the year, to vacation, that I'm like, even though it was a three-day weekend, I felt like I didn't quite get enough, like, rest time.
Yeah.
I feel like I need a day where I have no responsibilities. I need a day where I don't have to talk or see anyone but Andres and my dog, which I didn't quite. I mean, social time is important too. I had fun this weekend. I had a good time. But I'm like tired. I feel like ever since the election in the US also, I'm just more kind of like, I'm done with this already.
Yeah.
I'm tired. And then I also remembered, oh yeah, my period's about to come. So maybe that's also why.
It could be.
Maybe everything's not quite as bad as it feels at this moment. But thank you for anyone tuning in. We have some protests, especially women-led protests, some tips, some things that maybe you've heard in the news or haven't yet and would like to learn. But first, I think maybe we'll go to a little bit of a music break. Today we're listening to Zayn, another former One Direction kid, as we've heard probably a few Harry Styles songs on this program before, and Michelle's husband, Niall Horan.
Yeah.
And so we'll listen to a song by Zayn Malik, and we'll be right back.
Climb on board. We'll go slow and high tempo. Light and dark. Hold me hard and mellow. I'm seeing the pain, seeing the pleasure. Nobody but you, body but me, body but us, bodies together. I love to hold you close tonight and always. I love to wake up next to you. I love to hold you close tonight and always. I love to wake up next to you. So we'll piss off the neighbors in the place to feel the tears, the place to lose your fears. Yeah, reckless behavior, a place that is so pure, so dirty and rough. In the better day, better day, better day. Fucking everybody knows it's a paradise and it's a war zone.
body but me, body but us, bodies together. I love to hold you close tonight and always. I love to wake up next to you. So we'll piss off the neighbors in the place to feel the tears, the place to lose your fears. Yeah, reckless behavior, a place that is so good, so dirty and rough. In the better day, better day, better day. Fucking everybody knows it's a paradise and it's a war zone. It's a paradise.
So you may have heard in the U.S. election, reproductive rights was a big, a really important issue all around, no matter what side you're on. So the Harris campaign focused a lot on protecting women's rights to abortion health care, whereas Trump at times takes credit for overturning Roe v. Wade. I mean, he placed a number of the judges on the Supreme Court who made that possible. And then at other times he says he's not in favor of a national ban for abortion. But important to note that Project 2025, which is a list of policies, proposed policies that most of his campaign is made up of, that he is now proposing to hire or to name a lot of people who were part of coming up with that document to be part of his administration. So it's a pretty good guess that that document is pretty accurate to what his presidential policies are going to be. Moves towards enshrining things like fetal personhood, basically giving a fetus the same rights as a person after they're born, making abortion murder, making abortion care pretty much impossible or very, very difficult, a lot of barriers to do it safely and for doctors to be able to provide care to pregnant people, whether they're looking to become parents or not. So it's a big issue that unfortunately did not go our way. And so since the election, a lot of women have been feeling really frustrated by this, this idea of more men in power wanting to take away our rights. And this feeling of, like, helplessness or powerlessness of, like, we've tried to educate, we've tried to say everything that we can for people to make the right decision, and they still don't really see our rights as important. So what can we do? And so I think as a way for people to try to reclaim some of their power under such a patriarchal society, there's been a significant increase in Google searches from people in the U.S. in the past days following the election about the 4B movement in South Korea, which if you see like a graph on Google search terms, you can see it's like very, very, very low, and then right after the election, a huge spike of of women, especially in the U.S., looking at what is this 4B movement. So the 4B movement, B meaning like no or not in Korean, is a refusal to date men, to have sexual relationships with men, to marry men, or to have children with men. Sharing about the 4B movement on social media, some women have shared sentiments like, if men won't respect our bodies, they don't get access to our bodies. Other people have posted, ladies, we need to start considering the 4B movement like the women in South Korea and give America a severely sharp birth rate decline. We can't let these men have the last laugh. We need to bite back. Others have said, it's time to close off your wombs to males. The election proves now more than ever that they hate us and hate us proudly. Do not reward them. And then on the backlash, because there is always backlash to these types of comments, to this type of empowerment or protesting. For example, Nicholas Fuentes, a known white nationalist and Holocaust denier who is a friend of Trump. Trump received a lot of criticism when he invited Nicholas Fuentes to dinner. says, "Your body, my choice, forever." Okay. And that is a tweet that got 40,000 likes.
Okay.
Another, John Miller, who describes himself as a moderate and fair and balanced political commentator, recently tweeted, "Women threatening sex strikes, like LMAO, if you have a say." That post got over 50 million views. And
that's
sparked considerable backlash, of course, needing an additional note that sex without rape is, or sex without consent is rape. So what is this 4B movement of, like, no dating, relationships, sexually or otherwise, or having children with men? This is a movement that, over the past few years, around 2019, especially in South Korea, but it has shown up in other countries as well, a growing feminist movement trying to respond to a lot of this gender discrimination and misogyny and feeling powerless in a patriarchal, misogynistic society, and a way for women to kind of get back some of their power and to make a statement that affects society as a whole. And it's obviously needed a lot of women to participate in this kind of movement, this kind of protest, this kind of campaign, whatever you want to call it, in order for it to really have an effect. Like, one or two women who participate is, like, not as noticeable, but when you have a large community of women saying that they want to participate, it causes a lot of, stirs up a lot of controversy. It becomes a movement. It becomes harder to ignore. So Korea had already had, is one of the countries with the lowest birth rates. Now some people then started blaming feminist movements or 4B movements. Experts kind of see it as the other way around. So the low birth rates in Korea, some people say, is really because there's no option for women to pursue a career and motherhood, like the maternity leave, just the life struggles make women, you know, not be able to choose to do both. And so they often choose one or the other, often choosing their career. And so the 4B movement came in of young women saying to policymakers, "You want us to get married and have children, you have to make this world a better place for us to live."
True.
Whereas some people kind of see it as the opposite of, everything was fine, we should go back to normal, until these, like, crazy ladies decide they're not going to have children, and now we have a fertility rate that's really low, which is not quite the perspective of the whole story. But it does affect communities that have very few children in their, you know, kindergarten classes. It's kind of like, oh, wait, where'd the generation go? What's going on? And so people participating in the 4B movement are like, all right, you want us to have children? Change policies. You know, make it more possible for us to live a fulfilled life with children. Otherwise, we're not going to do it.
Actually, my last class of geography, my teacher started talking about Trump and a lot of weird things. And, like, in a way to say that it's good. And I said, and for the woman, what it is? And he was like, be quiet, and it's like, that's not good for the woman. So I guess it's not good for the people in general.
It's really not good for anyone.
But he started explaining how about the history and all the things that
Donald Trump
is going to do, and how they're going to stop the war in Palestine and all these things. And I was like, are you sure? And all my friends was like, what is this teacher talking about it?
Yeah, unfortunately, we see a lot of misinformation, and the infuriating part is that it seems like a lot of people in the U.S. who voted for Trump maybe even thought that they were making an informed decision, but the information that they were working with is most likely completely false and biased information, because I hear a lot of people saying... I hear a lot of people saying that there's, you need to do your research, they're aborting babies after they're born. You have to do your research to understand what's really going on. And I'm like, you're so close to the point and somehow still so far away. Yes, you need to do research and you should know what's going on. But you can't be looking at fake news to do that research because, to be clear, abortions after someone is born, that doesn't exist. That would be called murder and not abortion. Abortion is an interruption of pregnancy. If you are no longer pregnant, you can't interrupt that pregnancy. So there's a lot of misinformation, a lot of people thinking that they're right, and that's not necessarily the case. But in Korea, this was also sparked by cases of femicide that became very, news-breaking, and people really frustrated by not seeing justice protect women. There have also been a lot of cases of what they call digital sex crimes, so hidden cameras recording women in public restrooms to later be uploaded to porn sites. Terrible things to be a woman in this society, and so women kind of organize each other to fight back, to say, you may not recognize us as people, but we're going to use whatever leverage advantage we have to disrupt society, which is really what protests are about. It's about like that disruption in your routine, in society, in the culture, so that you have to think more critically about what's going on and how to change it.
Yeah.
Similar protests have happened in Latin America, in all places of the world. In some cases in Latin America, they've also been called piernas cruzadas movements, or like cross-leg movements, or like sex strikes. For example, in 2011, a town in Colombia, in rural area of Barbacoas, Nariño, around 300 women decided to abstain from sexual relations with their partners until they addressed issues of improvements in the community that they needed, like repairing roads. Which is an interesting way of acknowledging, okay, so maybe the majority of people in power are men.
Yeah.
But if the women who frustratingly don't have power to change their communities the way that the men do, say, all right, well, no no sex for you until you get to work and change the community, change the society, repair things that need to be repaired, which is interesting way of this kind of protest as well. And there are many examples that have happened in Latin America, around the world, of women trying to take some power to kind of wake men up to realize that they need to change something, that our voices are also important in the discussion of what needs to be done. Any thoughts? Any other things that you've heard about this kind of movement from women?
I do have a question, though. Considering that we put this into action, like, would that not increase the risk of, like, rape and sexual violence? Because, for example, someone can be like, why are you participating in this silly movement? I'm the man of the house. I have to get what I want. Like, isn't it risky to some extent to women?
Yeah, especially the backlash of, like, even just comments from very public people on Twitter saying things like, your body, my choice, or, oh, sex strike, haha, as if you have a say. You know, those things are rooted in, like, this rapist, predatory mindset of, no, you don't have sex, you don't allow me to have sex with you. I have sex with you because I want to. And so this is kind of women like, no, this is my choice. I think it probably, I don't know, I feel like the kind of people who are rapists are probably already doing it, whether or not people are participating in this kind of movement or not.
Yeah, like being part of a movement like that, it's not gonna like stop that the men rape a lot of women that they do normally. Obviously, exists like a big risk that a violent man recognize you in the street because you are part of this type of movement. But yeah, that's not something just you participating in something like that or in different groups. It's gonna like change that, you know, because it's like so difficult. Actually, just be a woman. Actually, I have the opportunity today to go to the General Archive of the Nation here mm-hmm. in Bogota. And when the guy that was like doing like all the, how do you say, recorrido?
Like a tour?
He talked us that he found like a letter for maybe 1936 that was a woman, a black woman. It was like explained how the men, the black, the white men, raped her.
Mm-hmm.
And was like the one of the first black women that trying to talk about that. So it's like this has happened for the history, if not just right now. And obviously for right now you have the opportunity to talk more because there's more people with information about these types of movement. But it's like something that's not gonna change if we not gonna start change the society, because we can do a lot of things. We can go to the street. That's something that actually I do a lot of times in my life. But it's like I do it, but if the person that is in the house, if not understand like the message of the mm-hmm. importance of this movement, it's not gonna change anything, because the most important thing is how you're gonna teach your child, your family,
mm-hmm.
how to take care of a woman and how to take care of a person. So it's like, it's something like frustrating, because you're trying to do everything that you can and that you have in your hands to try to show the people why are you doing that. But if they don't have the real information and the correct information, that's not gonna change anything.
For the both of you, would you introduce this in your relationships? I mean, considering the kind of men that you're going out with, probably they would be for the idea, like they're not bad men, like they advocate for feminist rights and they support you when you do
yeah.
these kind of things. But would you go home and say, oh, I'm gonna be doing this. How do you feel about this? Or would you do it quietly? Or like, would you take the initiative to be part of this kind of protest?
Well, in my case, I'm gonna be so clear at the first moment, because with my boyfriend, I was like the first time. I'm gonna be clear. I'm feminist. I'm gonna respect you. I'm gonna respect my rights. I'm gonna respect the woman. There's a lot of men that not be like agree with that, and it's like better stop talking, because have the idea that you're like a crazy woman and you're gonna like push in the men and all these things. But if like trying to explain, and not just my boyfriend, my friends too, how is the idea? How it's like in my case, in my mind, exists this type of movement, because.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's so difficult when I go to, like, a straight and there's a lot of women say that the man can be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so uncomfortable because the man can be there, because we are trying to find rights for everyone. Obviously, there's moment that we want to be alone just with women, because we don't know if you're going to find, like, a violent man there. But there's,
mm-hmm.
like, reproducing like a violent moments when you are a woman and you are screaming a man in the street that he can be there. It's like it's happening the same. The woman not have the opportunity to be in the street a lot of times, but how the man can be right now. So it's like something in my case I'm gonna do directly. I'm not gonna like say, no, maybe later I'm gonna talk about my feelings and all these things. No,
mm-hmm.
I'm a feminist. I recognize like that for maybe like 8 years ago. If
mm-hmm.
you don't like it, I'm sorry. This is my life. This is how I choose for my life. If you wanna be with me, you need to understand that that's something that I'm gonna fight. And I know that maybe a friend or a family have a problem with a man. I'm not gonna be quiet. I'm
mm-hmm.
gonna like explode like a bomb.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I prefer be in the first moment. If you
mm-hmm.
like it, okay. If not, that's not my problem.
What's your take, Kanye?
Yeah. I feel like I'm in a relationship with someone who sees me as a full person and an equal,
mm-hmm.
that all of the responsibilities of taking care of the home are shared,
mm-hmm.
you know, of respect, mutual respect for each other as people with rights. So I feel... comfortable with that. Someone who said, who, if I say no, respects that word. And respects, you know, if we later on talk about children, you know, will respect if I say no as well. I could definitely see if I were single at this time, I would be like, yeah, no, you know what? I'm done with my, like, no, I don't want to date. I don't want to be out there dating and then have to discover after a few dates how this person voted for Trump.
Yeah.
No, thank you. You know, like, I could definitely see for, I think, more people who are single to be like, nope, we're not dating men anymore. We're not. And considering that low birth rate is something that's already being talked about in a lot of places, of young people waiting longer to have children or deciding not to have children, has been a big concern for a lot of people. So I think it will be interesting to see if this kind of movement does take off in the U.S., if it does have, like, a significant decrease in birth rates, if that will cause some kind of change or attention to be brought to the issue, or what's going to happen. It's kind of hard to know if people will take it seriously, if people are just Googling it just to find out more, if, you know, what's going to happen. But I think a lot of women are really concerned about the situation for reproductive rights in the U.S. So, I don't know. We'll find out.
It's difficult. Actually, it's so difficult because I believe that someone like Donald Trump that have a lot of power, it's like someone that maybe can, I'm going to say in Spanish, oh my God, like can make that a lot of people believe them in everything that he said. So it's like, what are we going to do? Because for a lot of people, it's going to believe in, and in not just in USA. There's a lot of Latin American people that are saying that it's good that he is doing that. And it's like, he want to take all the Latin people out of USA. What you are going to do? But that's something that maybe we are going to, like, look and show when he finish her, like, new president time.
I don't know about you, but I think I could use another song break.
It was intense. Yeah, we did.
And we'll be back with some more women-led protests.
You thought you had me, did you? When you lied to my face, I could see the truth. Every step of the way I knew how you fooled me, boo. Guess you didn't know that you my favorite. I watch you, I laugh, but we'll fuck with you. Don't you take me for a fool. In this game, I own the rules. You were my favorite entertainer. I watch you, I laugh, but we'll fake it too. Don't you take me for a fool. I'ma show you a thing or two. Never see you coming, I'll tell you. No one's playing no game.
with some other protests that are going on around the world. We have indigenous young people in Peru. Tell us a little bit more about that, Mariana.
Yeah, actually I'm going to talk about Alessandra Yupanqui. She never stopped posting her pride to being Andean, Mentian is indigenous, and writing the culture. More than 500,000 people follow her on Instagram and TikTok. That's how I found her. An audience that is growing like foam. So she is trying to explain how is she happy to be part of this community. So Alessandra is part of a new generation of young Latin American indigenous people who seek to break stereotypes and all these ideas for the indigenous people. So she's trying to explain the difference between the beautiful camelids of the mountains and how to distinguish the llama from an alpaca or a vicuña. That it's different, three types of animals.
Okay, I knew there were two. I didn't know about the third.
Me too.
I knew llama and alpaca. There's some kind of difference. Don't ask me what it is, but it exists. But I didn't know that third one, though.
Yeah, so she's trying to, like, show the winter season stopping potatoes to make cuño, or on the occasion of Halloween, she arranged a video called Fantasmitas de los Andes. In honor of the mythical spirit of the forest, the Chulachakis, she used ponchos made on fine Andean fabric instead of white sheets to dance in the mountain. So she tell at age 11 at a school event, the person like her grandmother Fina made things difficult for her. She felt something she couldn't name and didn't know where it had come from or how it got into her stomach. It was shame of her grandmother of feeling discovered. Rufina, who is now her inspiration, emigrated to Lima at the age of 18 from the community of Yata Palpa, about 8 hours from the Cusco airport. She only spoke Quechua, that it's the national language, and everything she knew from the countryside was worthless in the city. That's something actually happened here in Bogota too. She worked as a domestic servant and in addiction to poverty, suffering soul and discrimination because her appearance, her language, her clothes, and her origins. A few decades later, the granddaughter made the journey back after studying design and launching her career in social media. She also the founder of Sapiens, a media outlet dedicated to sustainability. She left the Peru capital to live in the high Andean community at 3,600 meters above sea level. 2 hours from Cusco and tell the world about the different, how it's like the different life. So, in this part of Peru, Los Andes, it's like a national territory for the indigenous communities that there's like different, there's Colao Quechua, Canca Quechua, there's obviously more, other one is Aymaras. So the idea for her is trying to show that she not feel shame to have like to be part of an indigenous community, because that's something that she said that today I openly said that I am from the Andes, but if I had done so 15 years ago, people around have thought I was crazy, dying my own grave. And that's something that actually is continue happening for a lot of people. Right now, in Colombia, obviously the rights for the indigenous people, they're not recognized. Actually, in the tour that I have today, actually, that was so sad. Know that there's like a lot of the papers that they have there. It's just writing for a Spain people that be here, yeah, and all these things. And it's so sad because actually more in the documents are just men. Mm-hmm. And actually that's something that the guy said today, that the part of the woman in the General Archive of the Nation started a lot of years ago, not so much, but he said that for us it's like so important, like a teacher, understand what we have here. I know that if you're a Colombian people, you can go with any problem. I don't know, to be like a, how do you say, extranjero?
Foreigner.
Yeah, people to go there, but maybe you have the opportunity. Mm. You can find a lot of information of these documents. So, just for finish, you can find her. It's like Alessandra Yupanqui. She's trying to post everything, and she's trying to explain how it's like the different of the people like living in a indigenous community and for a city. Mm-hmm. And when she decided to use the last name Yupanqui on social media, was like a surprise for the family. Mm-hmm. And she said that she remembered when the mother telling that, don't even think about telling that story because people will be asking questions and how embarrassing. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult, but if you have the opportunity to find more about these people, I know that there's a Colombian girl that is doing the same, but right now I'm not finding her. But it's like different young people that is trying to post in the social media or use the social media to show how it's the important for the new generation. We live their like identities. Mm. That's something that they need to understand and live with that.
Yeah, and a way to use social media for education and to present stories from indigenous people that are often not included in pop culture, not included in history books, not included in the National Archives, all of these things where we really see a lack of, especially indigenous women. So I think that is also, in a way, like, maybe not quite a protest, but like activism work, educational yeah. work of trying to disrupt in a way too, by like changing, using a more indigenous last name. Like, oh no, but it's too hard to pronounce. It's different. It's like, well, you can learn it. You can learn it and you can yeah. learn history and it'll be fine. You'll be better yeah. for it.
Yeah.
And also the thing where I feel like it's important to raise awareness because, for example, as foreigners, some of us, we don't understand the extent mm-hmm. of how bad it is for indigenous women. I remember I was watching this movie, this series from Mexico. I think it was a surrogate mother type of thing. And then it was a situation where an indigenous woman had to act like a surrogate. And then when the family of the guy knew what was happening, they were like, we cannot accept the kid because his mom is indigenous, she's deity, like indigenous people and culture yeah. and stuff like that. And then it actually made me realize, because this whole time I was just thinking, we were just saying indigenous women need their rights, they need help, they need assistance, they need to be known, they need to be visible. Mm-hmm. But I didn't understand to what extent this problem mm-hmm. is a great problem. So I think it's really an important issue when it mm-hmm. comes to indigenous women.
Yeah, and actually here is difficult because for the indigenous people in the part of Colombia they have like different laws. Like mm-hmm. a normal person like me, like here in the city. So that's why a lot of indigenous people not be agree with the abortion. And that was something like so, like a big problem when the abortion get here in Colombia, because one indigenous people, one woman obviously, trying to get and was not available because she was an indigenous people. But that's something that Jacarandas and other groups work and explain, that every woman mm-hmm. and like a trans man that can get pregnant can be like open to the abortion. Mm. But it's like a difficult situation more because they don't have the opportunity like us we have here in the cities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we have time to go to another song quickly, and we'll be right back with some other do's and don'ts on participating in protests, if any of these have inspired some action.
But not in Bogota, please, I'm tired. Every day there's something.
Yep. All right, we'll be right back.
Can't see when I'm falling, losing myself, but in there you call it.
Take it away. Tell us some advice after hearing about all these forms of protest and activism that we should keep in mind.
Yeah. Considering how there's so many movements going on and people be motivated to go out and protest. For example, in my country this week is Trans Visibility Week. I'm not sure if it's international or it's just in my country. I'm not sure. And then we also have the 16 days coming up, also in November. It's important to just keep in mind one or two of the things just to be safe and protest peacefully. So for the do's, I have research and understand the cause. Before joining a protest, educate yourself on the issue. For example, gender-based violence, its impact, and the campaign's goals. This will help you effectively articulate your message and engage others. And for more information on the 16 days of activism, you can also visit the UN Women page about that. And then number two, I have check local regulations and permits. Verify that the protest has the necessary permits and follows local laws. This ensures a peaceful and safe demonstration. An example of how you can do this is contact local authorities or protest organizers to confirm the protest route and assembly points. Plan your safety. Consider your well-being and take necessary precautions. You can do this by bringing a friend, carrying a fully charged phone, and know the location of nearby hospitals. Stay informed about protest updates. Follow trusted sources and real-time information on protests. You can do this by following protest organizers' social media accounts or sign up for text updates. And then you can also respect fellow protesters' space and opinions. Maintain a positive and inclusive atmosphere. Avoid confrontations and respect different viewpoints within the movement. And then also debrief and reflect after the protest. Share your experiences and thoughts with others. For an example of this is you can discuss the protest with your friends, your family, or online community. And also self-care is important. Prioritize self-care and seek help if overwhelmed. And then I'm going to move on to the don'ts. So for the don'ts, don't engage in violence or destructive behavior. Avoid actions that harm people or property. Refrain from vandalism, physical confrontations, or inciting violence. Number two, I have avoid confrontations with counter-protesters or law enforcement. I know sometimes we may feel that spark, that enthusiasm, but please do not do that. Ignore provocative comments or actions from counter-protest. And then another point is don't block emergency services or accessibility routes. Ensure safety and accessibility. Keep protest routes clear for emergency vehicles. This can be ambulances and stuff like that. And then also refrain from using hate speech or discriminatory language. Promote inclusivity and respect. Avoid language targeting specific groups or individuals. Do not damage public or private property. Respect the community. Avoid graffiti, vandalism, or destruction of property. I don't know if this can be doable in a country like Colombia, where almost every wall and every building has some sort of graffiti. But yeah. Oh, well. And then also, do not protest alone. Stay with a trusted group. Prioritize safety. You can join a group of friends or a recognized organization. Do not ignore local laws and regulations. Respect the community. Follow local noise ordinances and permits. Avoid provoking and inciting violence. Maintain peace, peace and harmony in all over the world. Do not forget to self-prioritize, like self-care. Take care of your physical and mental well-being. Bring water, snacks, and take breaks. Mariana, you were sharing something about milk. You can also add in.
Yeah, sure. If you are in Colombia, more in Bogota, and you are like straight and arrive, how we know is mat. And they start like, how can say, gases lacrimógenos?
Like pepper spray, tear gas, kind of.
Yeah, something like that. And you feel bad with your face, go to a supermarket, bought a milk, and put that, the milk in your face. And that's going to help you. And if you not have a meal, take a, like maybe a jacket or something like that, put water. And how to say bicarbonato?
Like baking soda?
Yeah, baking soda, and that help you to breathe better because it's like uncomfortable when you have that, like that in your face.
Spoken like a true expert. Thank you so much, Mariana. That's it for me.
I'm not gonna say anything.
No, it's a good thing. It shows that you have participated in so many protests and you have like a clear picture of what to expect and what to do if things go wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I think definitely stay with people. Share your location. Even if like you have friends that are not participating or family, you know, share location with them so that they know where you are. Because unfortunately, protests can be met with violence. And then even though that's not the point, you know, people don't start the protest with the aim of violence. Usually it's, you know, we want our voices to be heard. We want to kind of disrupt the routine so that you have to pay attention to the issues that we're talking about. And unfortunately that's often met with not understanding, not listening, but violence or hateful comments to incite violence. So be careful.
Yes.
We support everyone's right to protest, a right for your voices to be heard, and do so carefully, do so in an informed way, in a safe way. Any last comments before we have to sign off for this week?
Like, if you have the opportunity to go straight, more like the feminist straight, that in the more of the cases it's so peaceful, you can go. It's so good to be there and so how other women support us.
That always makes me cry. Like, when I see videos and things of especially women's marches and things of, like, women coming together and singing or, you know, shouting, it makes me, like, tear up. I'm not...
That happened to me when gay appeared the notice when the abortion get here in Colombia. I can go. I don't remember why. But I was in my house and my mom, look, the news. I was like, okay. I was like... I don't want to cry. But it was, like, impossible to start crying.
Because it is a very powerful feeling to feel like, oh, yeah, we as women are supporting each other, are here for each other. We have kind of a common struggle, even if there are differences. That sense of community among women can be really moving.
Yes. Yeah. Speaking about that, it actually made me think about this song about violence against women. I think it's Canción Sin Miedo.
Yes.
The song. Every time a video comes up and I see a group of women singing that song, it really affects me deeply, like to a point of tears. Like, why do we have to go through this? And then just seeing women together against a common cause, it's a beautiful feeling.
Thank you.
So thank you, Michelle, Mariana, thank you, anyone listening, for tuning in this week. Tune in next week for another program of Mirrored Voices.
So close to the finish.
So close. I think we have
two
programs left.
Yes.
So next week and the week after, and then believe it or not, November will be over.
Yay. And December.
So don't forget to tune in to the last couple weeks of programming here. And stay tuned.
And thank you, Hannah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Que tiemble el estado, los cielos, las calles, que teman los jueces. Si un día algún fulano te apaga los ojos, ya nada me...